Penn State in that 78 season, 79 Sugar Bowl, with a Penn State team that was undefeated, number one in the country, and it gave Alabama its first national title of two straight there to wrap up the 70s. And then think about that. He played for Bear Bryant at Alabama, went on to play for Don Shula at Miami after his Colts days were over. Certainly looking forward to visiting with Barry Krause, just like we're looking forward to visiting with our next guest, award-winning columnist Joe Rexroad with The Athletic here in Nashville. Joe, did you have any famous goal line stands in your past?
I'm trying to think back. No, not really. Nothing in terms of participating. I've covered a few good ones, but nothing that I can think of, really.
You know, it's interesting. I saw this earlier this week. There was a poll and a question being asked down in Tuscaloosa as far as, you know, what do you think is the best play in Alabama history? And, you know, the fact that, you know, with the goal line stand game, and certainly if you're an Alabama fan, you would put it up there with Tua Tagovailoa's, you know, game-winning touchdown pass in the game to beat Georgia back at the end of 2017. You can say Van Tiffin's 52-yard field goal in 85 to beat Bo Jackson and Auburn in the Iron Bowl. But something was extra special with that goal line stand play, with the fact that it's not only considered one of the best plays in Alabama history, it's also considered one of the best plays in college football history as well.
Yeah, I'm trying. I do recall late 80s Michigan stopped Michigan State at the one on four straight plays, which was, you know, partially George Perlis was going to run off tackle every time and you knew it, but that's one of those, you know, in that rivalry there's always, like, probably in every big rivalry there's got to be at least one big goal line stand somewhere in there, right? Kind of like every basketball rivalry, there's probably both ways, there's a buzzer beater or some incredible, you know, dramatic late foul free throw or something like that.
Well, you can make the argument, too, probably one of the better fourth down stops was that Missouri-Colorado game back in 1990. Unfortunately, somewhere along the lines, the officials lost track of the downs. And so on the fifth down, Colorado was able to score, and that was certainly important with regards to the national championship picture.
Yeah, and that's great. Great. That was unforgettable game. And correct me if I'm wrong, was that Colorado and Georgia Tech sharing that in 1990?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do I have that? Yeah.
Think about that, you know, just and because you get those little blips on the radar, just like a BYU team winning a national title in the 80s. Of course, they had to beat, what, Michigan, a 6-5 Michigan team to do it. Yeah, yep. They were really being pushed there. And I remember that particular year, too, because it was so anticlimactic because it was in the Holiday Bowl game, and that was played days before we get to our special, you know, New Year's Day games. And so by the time New Year's Day rolled around, it was like, you're playing for second or third or whatever. It doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, Robbie Bosco. And, yeah, I think they beat like a 6-5 Michigan team, like 28-24, you know, like a totally evenly matched game.
But they were unbeaten, and so that's all you needed right there.
Yeah, and you know, I know when BCS was around, a lot of complaining, people complaining now. But I'll tell you what, they were both way better than, oh gosh, I hope, you know, like the Sugar Bowl matchup could possibly be 1-2, or, you know, the Orange Bowl has to wait for the Rose Bowl. I mean, yeah, I'm sorry, but, you know, at least we have some level of settling it on the field now.
Hey, by the way, you know, after we talk about his playing days, one of the conversations I want to get into as far as with Barry Krause, knowing that he's now an analyst with the radio and TV coverage of the Colts, you know, you start thinking about the contenders in 2020 with regards to the NFL. The Patriots certainly helped themselves at the quarterback spot with Cam Newton now signed. So you've got a veteran like Brian Hoyer who will be your third string quarterback. You've got Jared Stidham, who they, you know, were saying all the right things, believing that he was going to be the guy, and now you've got Cam Newton as well. But even with the Colts, I mean, think about the Colts. You know, they got Phillip Rivers to go along with Jacoby Brissett. And then, oh, by the way, Jacob Eason is on that team as well. And then I look at the Titans, and cross your fingers and hope that COVID-19 or injuries don't impact the Tennessee Titans at the quarterback spot. Because if you start ranking them with the teams that are in the best position to be able to deal with anything that comes their way obstacle-wise, especially at the quarterback position, other teams are in much better position and shape than the Tennessee Titans find themselves in right now.
No, that's a good point. And, of course, there are other teams in this league. I mean, there aren't enough good quarterbacks in the world, but you just named two that have certainly some depth. And that's one area I would say, without question, and dramatically worse from last year to this year for the Titans. Last year it was like, oh, they picked up Tannehill. Wow. Could he challenge Mariota? Oh, maybe not. But boy, that's a heck of a backup if you inevitably lose Mariota to an injury. And now the backup situation after Tannehill, you're talking about Logan Woodside and Cole McDonald, the rookie. So I still do think, Johnny, that a training camp move certainly could happen there for the Titans. I mean, I think, some of that is money. If they do get a long-term deal done with Derrick Henry, if they do sign Jadeveon Clowney, I mean, you don't know exactly how much money is going to be available, but I've got to think there are going to be some serious discussions about adding a veteran with some level of track record to probably, you would assume, kind of push Woodside out, and then they would still have their developmental third guy.
2 weeks, by the way. 2 weeks is the deadline as far as Derrick Henry with the long-term deal. Otherwise, you're playing with the 1 year contract this year.
Yeah, I still, I think it'll get done, but I could be wrong. It just seems like it's a good faith situation. Obviously, we don't know exactly the distance between the sides, but it seems like they could work something out. And honestly, you could work something out, depending on how you did it, that actually opened up a little more room to sign Clowney this year. That's one thing that you can do creatively, if you can get a long-term deal done. But, usually these things go pretty close to the deadline.
What happens, and how would you look at the Titans front office and John Robinson if, because you were still trying to figure out, felt really good about Clowney, you don't get Clowney, you don't get a long-term deal this year worked out with Derrick Henry, and because of that and the waiting game, you don't end up with one of those veteran quarterbacks that might have looked good, backing up, holding the clipboard until they're needed. If you don't, because you don't get any of those three, how bad do you look?
Yeah, I mean, to me, then you've, to me, I mean, look, the long-term deal with Henry, I think they should do it, but I would separate that from the other stuff you talked about. I mean, if Henry, he's going to play, and I think it's pretty clear, at least to me, that, Derrick Henry's going to give you what he's got out there. So you can still be great at that position and have a great year from him if he has to play under the tag. But the other two things, if you move Jurrell Casey, to me, that's, I get it, but it's also, okay, what are you doing with that money now to fill that hole, to do something with your defense that
Right.
can give that secondary some actual help? You gave them very little help last year with that four-man pass rush. It was feeble. So what are you doing? And if you don't do it, you could maybe take it and try to go get an Everson Griffin. He's out there, but to me, I think you're taking a huge gamble if you go with what they have right now in terms of pass rush. I mean, certainly Vic Beasley could have a breakout year, but you can't count on that, right? And Harold Landry can get better, but I think they absolutely need another piece. So yeah, I mean, especially that's the one I look at. Like, if that doesn't happen with Clowney, to me, you've now weakened your defense, and you're in a window right now where you just went to the AFC title game. People can call it a fluke if they want, but I don't know. They look pretty good getting there to me, especially with that offense. So now you lose Dean Pease. Seems like to help whoever's calling defensive plays this year, you need another big piece on that side of the ball.
The part, though, that we haven't discussed, you mentioned, and let's go back to Derrick Henry. How are you supposed to feel if you're Derrick Henry, knowing you're the, you led the league in rushing yards last year. You're also the reason why, as well, Ryan Tannehill got his nice deal. At least you can make that argument in your own head. Where's his mindset going to be? You can say, well, he's a professional. Yeah, but he's also human. And just how much and how good is he going to feel as far as for the next, regular season and playoffs, hopefully as well, knowing that you don't have the long-term deal and you can't help but feel slighted in some aspects.
Yeah, I think if they don't get a deal done, certainly you have to think about that. I do think that with him, I think there's less chance than maybe with a lot of guys that it's going to affect performance. I think you saw in his first couple years kind of a different kind of guy in terms of, like, I really don't think he had a problem being DeMarco Murray's backup. I think he was, if anything, hard on himself, and he had to get better, and he didn't really figure it out until well into his third year. But I really think that everybody talks about, I play for the other guys on my team, and I'm about winning all that stuff. But I think it's true with him, and I think that the Titans would still get a guy with a good mindset on game day and in terms of his body being prepared and all that stuff. But the mindset where it hurts you then is, then what happens? I mean, you could tag him again, but you might lose him. And to me, I understand the gamble aspect of the running back in the NFL, and that's hurt him more than anything. Some of these other flame outs around the league, the short shelf life, it's just been a bad run for running backs. But I think it's a bigger gamble to not sign him and to not have 2, 3, 4 more years like last year as a weapon. I mean, to me, he won 2 playoff games for you. He won them. And so if he can do that and go into New England and Baltimore and dominate games like that, why wouldn't you sign up for a certain, at least couple, 3 more years of that and see what you can put around it?
Joe Rexroad joining us. I mean, you can make the argument too, the last 2 years underutilized in the first half of both of the seasons, so that certainly added extra miles to the tires per se. But going back to those games when he was underutilized, I go back to then say that he is human and he didn't really hide his feelings when he knew that he could have helped the team more in those games. He wasn't, he didn't say anything wrong or anything like that, but you can't really hide your body language either.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to think back, and I honestly may be forgetting something. I mean, when I look back on those first few weeks, yeah, he didn't seem happy at all, but neither did anybody else. They were terrible. The offense was terrible. So, I mean, it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to compartmentalize that. I mean, was he mad because he's not getting, 30 carries, or mad because they just lost another game and scored 6 points? Probably some of both, but there weren't many happy faces on the offensive side of the ball with that 2-4 start. I mean, starting with Mariota. So, but yeah, sure. I mean, look, when you're as good as Derrick Henry, you want to have as much a role as possible in your team's success. And to your point on the tires, that's the thing. He's been in the league now 4 years, but the first 2 years were, backup numbers in terms of carries. And then, as you said, it was light early in the last couple of seasons. Now, of course, it was heavy, heavy, heavy after that. The overall, accumulation is good right now. It is fair to ask, can he tote it 30 times week after week after week, for 16 weeks and then into a playoffs? I mean, at some point, I think it's fair to say, look, even though he's in great shape and young and all that, I mean, you still want to kind of, curtail that a little bit when you can.
What kind of improvement do you expect from AJ Brown? We saw what he was able to do, and just all of a sudden he looks like a first-round draft pick. Looks like obviously is still being selected in the second round. You look at AJ Brown. You look at what Derrick Henry did last year. Remember the limited carries as far as the first part of the season too. Can Derrick Henry be a 2,000-yard rusher? Can AJ Brown be one of the top 3 or 4 wide receivers in the AFC?
I think yes on the first part of that with Derrick Henry, and I think that is possible. Again, that gets into the workload question over a whole season, but I do think it's possible. You know, if the whole thing is clicking like it was for the, you know, basically when Tannehill got in there, most of the time when he was in there. As far as A.J. Brown, I don't know about top three or four. I mean, I think that's lofty. I'm not saying he could never get there, but obviously a great rookie year. Finally, the Titans hit on, you know, drafting a receiver. And the thing with him is a lot of his damage was, of course, done after the catch. He was just so lethal when he got the ball, a little bit of space, and, you know, tough to tackle, so physical, and obviously he could really turn on the burners with the ball. I still think he can get better, certainly, against, you know, man coverage, top cornerbacks, which we saw Marshon Lattimore travel with him in that Saints game and held him to one catch. And Tannehill didn't look – I think he had two targets that day. You know, that's one of those things where you got to win more at the line and be better in terms of getting yourself open. You know, when the Titans' numbers against zone last year were insane, Tannehill's numbers were just absolutely outrageous. Quite a bit of difference against man. So I think A.J. Brown certainly can improve. And maybe he can be more of a vertical guy too. I don't know. I still think that a speed – threat to go with him and Corey Davis and, you know, Jonnu Smith, whoever else they have out there, would be beneficial. You know, I think Khalif Raymond did a good job last year, but they didn't end up adding that guy. Still, that offense, I think, could be really, really good. And, yeah, I think A.J. Brown certainly can be maybe a top 10, 15 guy this year in year two.
If you're the agent for Corey Davis, you know, what are you telling him as far as 2020 with regards to the Tennessee Titans?
Well, I mean, I think it's just, look, here you go. You know, he can't be surprised. They can't be surprised they didn't pick up that option. You know, at that number, at the number five pick, it just, you know, to me, that would have been crazy to pick it up. So I don't think they should have been surprised by that. And so I think it says, hey, go out and, hey, this is it. You're playing for your next deal. And I still think he's good enough to have a good year, to be productive, and to put himself in position to be an attractive free agent. Now, is this a deal breaker for returning to the Titans? It is for a lot of guys who don't get their option picked up. I think Jack Conklin, I think there were some lingering feelings over not getting his option picked up when it came time to negotiate this time around. But I have a feeling that Corey Davis, I think he likes it here. I think he likes to coach his teammates. And, you know, I think he's another guy who, he's not a finger pointer, you know, at other people. He's had some injuries, but he's been really good about not taking the excuse route. And I think he understands he hasn't produced. Some of it is out of his hands, but I think if he has a good year and is attractive after this year, I would not rule him out from seriously engaging in talks with the Titans and coming back. And, you know, of course, then the question is how much do they want him? But I think if he can be more like he was in 2018, then I think certainly that's a good number two receiver.
Always a pleasure, Joe. Do me a favor again. Let everybody know what they can expect when they go to theathletic.com/Nashville.
Well, we've got this week, I think we've got Food and Drink Week. A really interesting press box ratings. The Titans actually scored pretty well on that. I haven't been to all of them, but that's one of our food and drink things. I don't know if I mentioned this, but I've got a young Spurrier in East Tennessee story coming up about Steve Spurrier and basically when he developed his skills for needling opponents. So I've already kind of written that. That'll be coming soon. And, of course, we're tracking the Titans, and the Preds are getting going here. So pretty soon we'll have a lot more on the Preds too.
Any truth to the rumors that he used to practice them in the mirror before he actually unloaded in the media on whatever subject matter he was going off on?
I don't know. He didn't admit that to me. You know, he kind of downplayed the whole, you know, a lot of those quotes were given at booster functions and then got out, you know, so he had a captive audience. But I had not heard that one. Now I wish I would have asked that specific question. I should have called you first.
Well, let's see, that's just what I heard, you know, and I think his wife, at one point a few years back threw him under the bus on that one. I think the wife let it out. So it could be just a rumor, but it makes a lot of sense when you think about it.
I could see it.
Hey, listen, you and your family have an incredible 4th of July weekend. Certainly continue to stay safe, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, thanks for having me, Johnny. Appreciate it.
Thank you. That's Joe Rexroad, columnist, award-winning columnist with The Athletic. here in Nashville. Open segment. If you'd like to be a part of the show, 615-844-5600. Don't forget, around 5:35 or so, former Alabama Colts, Dolphins linebacker legend, now a football analyst with Indianapolis as far as with the Colts radio and TV coverage, Barry Krause will be a part of the show. He's certainly known for one of the best college football plays of all time, the famous goal line stand game against Penn State that helped Alabama win a national title in that 78 season. But open segment, 615-844-5600. On the other side, you're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Well, good afternoon. Cleanup continues on this crash out here on 440 westbound, right at the 65 split. It's so nice to drive down 440 now with the new paving and the new striping. Traffic's still moving right now. 65 down into Brentwood. It's still heavy, but it's still looking pretty good for the most part there. On 40 east, passing the airport, headed out towards Wilson County. It's time to have some summertime fun at Adventures Unlimited on the Ocoee River. Book online at adventuresunlimited.net. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
The Southern Air Market combines the hospitality of a New Orleans-style neighborhood grocery with the convenience of a New York City bodega to cater to the needs of downtown Nashville residents and visitors. Located in the Pinnacle Building on Demumbrian and 2nd Avenue next to its sister property, the Southern Steak and Oyster, the Southern Air Market is the first of its kind in the burgeoning SoBro neighborhood. Drop by to choose from shelves stocked with locally sourced sundry goods and produce. A butcher counter full of fresh meat and seafood, French-pressed coffee, made-to-order paninis, and a bevy of craft brews by the bottle. Don't want to leave the house or office? We also deliver at the Southern Air. Find us on DeliveryDudes.com and OrderUp.com. The Southern Air Market is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., and Sundays from noon to 5:30. To learn more, visit SouthernAirMarket.com or call 615-490-8077.
Hey, Bill King here to talk about the Omni Nashville Hotel like you've heard me do so many times. Bar line specifically here. New summer hours, 11 a.m. to 1 a.m. Delicious food and drink. Bourbon barbecue chicken wings. Also the Bear Bones Burger and everything else you're going to love on that menu. Remember, the Omni is also the location of Commitments Year Number 3, which is December 16th. Bar lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue, downtown.
George Plaster and Watson Brown to talk with you about a friend of ours, Jody Jones Dentistry. And Watson, we've both visited this beautiful new studio he has in the Music Row area. Man, it is spectacular.
It sure is. And I've known Jody George since he was a kid. His mom and dad, Doug and Lucy, are as good of friends as I have. It was an honor to coach Jody at Vanderbilt. And Jody was one of those tough guys, very smart, highly competitive, unbelievable work ethic. It does not surprise me that he's had a wonderful dentist practice as he does.
22 years worth, and it includes cosmetic dentistry, veneers, crowns, laser bleaching, and they have a hygiene department with microscope technology. If you want an appointment, you simply call them at 615-259-5100 or go on their website, jodyjonesdds.com.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on the Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and it was a doubleheader weekend for the Cup Series from Pocono Raceway. Kevin Harvick won on Saturday. Denny Hamlin won on Sunday. Up next is the Brickyard for 4th of July weekend, Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, this is Kevin Harvick.
Hi, this is Denny Hamlin. I get my NASCAR news on the Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
Every single weekday right here.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show, every weekday afternoon on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you. Zach Williams making sure everything runs great. Can we just say, let's just forget about the first 6 months of 2020. Let's let this be the new year starting July 1st. As we move forward, let's be optimistic. Let's hope that some geniuses out there in the scientific world comes up with a vaccine. And we'll be ready to go and end 2020 on a high note. That's my thoughts, that's my wish, and that's what I'm praying about. All right, 615-844-5600. If you'd like to be a part of the show, Cattleman, welcome to the show.
What's going on, Johnny? I second that motion.
Hey, by the way, where are you calling from today? What city?
I'm just outside of Knoxville, actually. I'm kind of, you know, where Jefferson City is.
Yes, I'm very familiar with that.
Yeah, okay. The least of town.
There you go. So what's on your mind this afternoon?
Okay, I got two things for you. First off, I wonder, well, one thing on Rex Road there, Ryan Tannehill, I think it all boils down to him. You know, the whole Henry stuff, and, you know, when's the last pedestrian quarterback to win a Super Bowl? Trent Dilfer.
And, of course, you remember that particular team. Certainly the what we remember most is just how incredible that defense was.
Yeah. Just, I mean, there are ways to do it. Every now and then Joe Flacco had a pretty good run, too, didn't he? Seems like.
Yeah.
1 year.
Yep.
So, I mean,
think about Joe Flacco. You mentioned Trent Dilfer, and guess what? They have as many Super Bowl rings as a Joe Namath. And guess what? They have one more than Dan Marino ever achieved.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, you can do it, but it's not the easy way, is it?
No, absolutely not. My concern is this, and, you know, the biggest thing is if you don't have that go-to guy, somebody that you feel comfortable with, say if your number one quarterback goes down, think about it, too, with, you know, if we are talking about COVID-19 where you lose a key right tackle, for example, or a left tackle, and whoever comes in to fill their spot, because your starter is out for a week or two because of COVID-19, and because of that, they have one letdown, one play where they miss their assignment, and they get your quarterback hurt. You see where I'm going? That's why, because of all the different intangibles, you're already facing the normal things with injuries anyway. But if you throw into the mix the possibilities that players may miss, two, 3 weeks at times with COVID-19. It adds to that equation, and it adds to the importance to make sure you have depth, especially for a team that has aspirations like the Titans, who want to make it one step further this year and go to the Super Bowl.
Well, I want to get onto the SEC East, but what they go through, Locker to Vince Young to, I mean, I can't even remember these journeymen. I mean, they'd had a quarterback since McNair.
How it was Young, it was Locker, Zach Mettenberger, yeah.
Been a while, hadn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, on the SEC East real quick here. You know the one thing, I was listening to you and Seacrest talking there, Johnny. By the way, you've been such a bammer like you are. What do you think about Pruitt?
Jeremy Pruitt, time will tell. You know, look, until you show us you can do it, I mean, like this year, for example, everybody's thinking about the road trip to Oklahoma and then the key conference game against Florida in September. You know what game I have circled? If you're a fan of Tennessee, you better have the game circled. It's the very first game against Charlotte, Will Healy's group, one of the best group of five teams out there. We know how Tennessee in recent years have struggled. Last year, losing to Georgia State. You know, forget about the two big games they have on their schedule in September. They better be concerned about David right there as far as Charlotte is concerned. Will Healy will have his group ready to go.
Yeah, but I think it's pretty much bigger picture than that. If you look at Vegas, like I agree, Seacrest was saying it was probably going to be a Georgia-Florida race in the East this year coming in.
And I feel that's the case, too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm more interested in what Vegas says than your guest says. But if you're looking down the road, y'all got talking off about Kirby Smart. The one thing you got to give Georgia credit for is they know when to fire a football coach. Mark Richt took over a pretty good program from Jim Donnan, and Kirby Smart took over a pretty good program under Richt. Didn't have to build it from the ground up. Pruitt got thrown in the toilet, and Jim McElwain's last year at Florida wasn't so hot. So he's kind of had a running start on the rest of the East.
Oh, I'm not going to disagree. Plus, he certainly played football there, so he knows about the Georgia culture. But you know, here's the thing: the fans, when they want, they don't care who is the head coach. They want national championships. They want another national title. They're tired of waiting. 1980 was too long ago. We're getting ready to get to the third generation of Georgia fans without a national championship.
I think Tennessee should have hired Kiffin, but I've had a good long look at Pruitt, and I think Pruitt's pretty good from what I've seen. I mean, I agree with you.
You think everybody should hire Lane Kiffin? Dabo Swinney leaves Clemson, you want Lane Kiffin there. If Nick Saban leaves Bama, you want Lane Kiffin there. You want Lane. Is Lane Kiffin paying you, by the way, under the table?
he ought to be, right?
Absolutely.
Now, I think he's the most misunderstood figure in college football. You Kiffin haters never give him a fair shake, and I got a good look at him when he was over here in Knoxville. I think he's a hell of a football coach. I think he's the logical successor to Pete Carroll. You know, they really threw him in the wood chip right there at USC, 30 scholarships. But I guess where I was going, I don't want to drift on that. I think long term here, I don't think Kirby Smart's going to get it done. I think he's, you know, y'all can say all that you want about it. He was one play away. You know, Mullen's a proven commodity. Kirby Smart didn't go to nowhere state in Toledo like Saban and get the Georgia job. He got thrown right in the country club without having to dig a ditch. And, you know, sometimes these guys that get these cream puff first jobs don't fly. I mean, remember what they were saying about Will Muschamp?
Well, look, Kirby Smart has three straight division titles as far as the SEC East. So, you know, there's worse things in life, especially how competitive the SEC is. You know, the fact that he can actually say three straight. You know, Nick Saban can't say that. Nick Saban can't say he's got the last three SEC West titles. He can't say it.
If I had told you in Tennessee, what were they, 1-3, 1-4, something like that? They'd finish up 8-5 and win their bowl game last year. What would you have said?
Well, look, I thought it was an outstanding finish for Jeremy Pruitt in Tennessee. They did an outstanding job after their sluggish start.
An outstanding coaching job is probably the way
Hey, by the way, we have to let you go. We have to get to Barry Krause on the other side.
Hey, Johnny, one last thing. Where are you?
What do you mean, where am I?
Well, you asked me where I am.
Oh, I'm in Nashville. I'm in Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay, you bring me a big bottle of Dickel since you're being Snoopy.
No, I'm a Jack Daniels guy. Appreciate it. All right, coming up on the other side, former Alabama Colts NFL great, now a analyst with Indianapolis radio TV coverage for the Colts, Barry Krause, coming up on the other side. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. There's a lot of radar out here. Make sure you slow it down. You're going to see more radar over the next couple of days. In Brentwood, there's a crash at 7 Springs Way at OHB, 5300 block of Cane Ridge Road, South Nashville on that accident. Heavy, but it's moving 65 down through Franklin, Brentwood. It starts to get really heavy at times, 65 south down around Spring Hill. Hey, it's time to have some summertime fun at Adventures Unlimited on the Ocoee River. Book online at adventuresunlimited.net. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time travel.
Guys, waking up over and over to pee is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to pee at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking three prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free. Call 1-800-478-0480. Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now. Call 1-800-478-0480. Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer. Call 1-800-478-0480. 1-800-478-0480.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give a little talking to man, mano a mano.
Hey, Steve! It's now a good time?
No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
How much money would you like to save just by doing something you're already doing? How about 40%? With Allstate, safe drivers can save 40% just by doing something they're already doing. Driving safe. That's right, 40% just by driving safe. Visit Allstate.com or call a local agent for a quote today. And see just how much you can save when you drive safe with Allstate.
Not available in every state. Savings vary and based on DriveWise and other safe driving discounts. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyCan forecast for this afternoon. Showers and thunderstorms likely, partly sunny with a high near 88. Tonight, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a low around 72. And tomorrow, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly sunny with a high near 90 with heat index values as high as 98. Utilize the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm WNSR's Jeff DeWitt.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Every weekday afternoon, it's the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Well, I've been doing this as far as Sports Talk Radio since 2008, and I've had the pleasure of having our next guest on a few times over the years. It's never a dull moment. And let's just see here. We quickly looking at his resume, we're talking about a former Alabama linebacker, great NFL star, Baltimore, Indianapolis Colts, the Miami Dolphins. He was a player for two legends, a Bear Bryant and a Don Shula. And he's now a football analyst with Indianapolis Colts radio and TV work as well. Barry Krause joins us again. Barry, first of all, welcome back to the show. I hope you and your family are staying safe, and it's always a pleasure to have you on.
Well, thank you. Everybody's doing well here, and looking forward to talking with you tonight.
Hey, by the way, I'm curious. Earlier this week, I saw this poll coming out of Tuscaloosa, and they were asking, you know, to name their favorite play in Alabama history as far as football history. And, you know, I was thinking about that along the lines of, you know, if you were a fan of USC or Florida State or whatever the case may be. I don't think I've ever asked you this question, you know, because obviously you and your teammates, the goal line stand, helping Alabama beat Penn State for that national title in that 78 season, 79 Sugar Bowl against an undefeated Penn State team. What would you say if I asked you, what is your favorite play in Alabama football history?
You know, I am a little biased, but still, you know, playing for Alabama, playing for Coach Bryant, you knew what Alabama was about and Coach Bryant was about. And he talked about really defense, about making plays and stepping up and making things happen, not only on the football field, but also in life. And he was big into life analogies. And, you know, he always talked about there's going to be a time and a place in your life where, you know, you might have your back to the goal line and might be fourth down. And you've got to dig deep inside yourself, and it's called gut check. And, you know, you're going to have to suck it up and rise to the occasion and make something happen in your life. So I undoubtedly think the goal line stand is the greatest play in Alabama history. I mean, there's no other play that touches it. I love Joe Namath. He was good. And then Kenny Stabler with the run in the mud and all these, and the kick. And I appreciate that. That was beating Auburn. But what play, you know, I mean, and George Teague had a great play in a Sugar Bowl, but unfortunately right. It was a no play. Believe it or not, it was a great play, but it was a no play because we were offsides. But to have the game on the line, have a national championship on the line, and for us to stand up and rise to the occasion, like he said, I think it's the epitome of what Alabama football is all about. And that's what we did that day. It was for a national championship. It wasn't just to beat Auburn. It wasn't just to beat Tennessee. You know, and I just feel like that picture immortalizes, you know, what Coach Bryant, or epitomizes what Coach Bryant and Alabama football is all about. Because we're tough. I mean, we will rise to the occasion. We will make it happen. And like you said, you know, Penn State was undefeated. They were on a 19-game win streak. And we shut them out. I mean, not shut them out, but you know, basically beat them and upset them in the greatest game of the year. And so that's kind of how I feel. I just love looking back and knowing that I was a part of a great piece of history in Alabama football.
I've had Don McNeil on the show several times, and he had a key play, too, on that goal line stand. And, you know, third down left Penn State, I mean, basically inches away from the goal. And refresh my memory, was it Marty Lyons who basically during a timeout, you know, told Chuck Fazina, you better pass as far? I mean, it wasn't talking trash. It was just talking with confidence.
Well, you know, if Marty said that, I've heard that he had said that. I'm not sure, but it makes sense. But, you know, just give Don McNeil a lot of credit. We have a little banter back and forth, and he said, you know, Barry Krause, you wouldn't be who you are if it wasn't for my play on that goal line. And I said, I appreciate that. And I said, but let's be honest, if I don't make the play on the goal line, they don't remember your tackle. And that's, and he went, well, you're right, because that play doesn't matter then, right? Everything is kind of nullified. They score, so they don't even remember that play. So, but Don McNeil was a phenomenal football player. There are a lot of great football players on that football team that made plays that day. I mean, Bruce Bolton was my roommate. He caught that touchdown pass to put us 14 up at halftime. That was a great touchdown catch. You know, there were just Murray Legge had a great game. He made some things happen. You know, Lou Eichner comes up with a great punt return for about 60-yard return. I mean, you know, that's
and these were just good team players, too, you're talking about. We're not talking about first-team All-Americans for some of these guys you're mentioning. They were just outstanding team players who knew what their role was.
Right. And every one of them will say that's one of the hardest-hitting games that we ever played. I mean, you got to give a lot of credit to Penn State. Bruce Clark and Matt Millen were two defensive linemen that were phenomenal in that game. They really were in our backfield a lot, disrupting our offense. And so we really struggled offensively to get any kind of momentum going, but was able to put some points on the board. But, you know, obviously making a mistake, fumbling the ball in that fourth quarter on about the, 40, 45-yard line, you know, Penn State took the momentum back. And, you know, they're number one in the team in the country. So they basically got the momentum and drove all the way down to the goal line and really, you know, really felt like, you know, they could get it in the end zone with less than a foot. And I think it really shocked them when we rose to the occasion and stopped them and stopped that momentum. They did get the ball back again, but we shut them down. But I think that really mentally, you know, when you look at a football game, there's ebb and tide, and there's momentum that you really almost can't even touch, but you can see and you can feel. And you could feel in that Superdome that Penn State got it back. I mean, they got it back and drove, 45 yards down to the goal line. I mean, they really had taken control of the game again and was going to make a, you know, obviously they're going to, you know, hopefully score and take the lead back from Alabama. But, you know, we were able to stop them that day. But, again, a lot of great players, a lot of great plays that day.
That particular play also made somebody by the name of Daniel Moore a very well-known individual, especially in the state of Alabama. I was telling the story last hour that I remember going to a couple of football games in 1980. And, you know, I always save all game programs when I go to, you know, games. And, you know, a couple of years ago, I was just, you know, going through the game program, and I saw this ad for the Daniel Moore print. You could get it fairly cheap. It was under $20 or something like that. But a print of that famous goal line stand against Penn State. And I was joking because you could get it relatively cheap then, and now is worth thousands of dollars. Did you ever get one, or did you ever have a chance to get one of those for your collection?
Oh, yeah, Daniel Moore was very gracious, and he gave me what do they call it, a printer's choice? Or
right.
One of those.
A printer's proof, right, every, you know, so
yeah.
Often just to make sure it keeps the quality of your print. And, yeah, those are really, really super nice.
Yeah, so he gave me one, and then I have no idea how I got another one, but I was looking through, I think somebody just gave it to me because, like you said, they were cheap. And so somebody sent one to me, and So I was looking through my basement, you know, looking through some stuff, and all of a sudden I found another one. I was like, oh my gosh, I've got another one. So I framed it. And so, yeah, that is so true. I had the fortunate opportunity to meet Daniel Moore. What a phenomenal artist. I love oil. I'm an artist, too. And that rendition was phenomenal. And he's just been really kind to me. He gave me a book. He came out with a book, and on the front of the book is the picture of the goal line stand. And he talked about his first, you know, how that broke, you know, or gave him that great opportunity to make a great living with a lot more, obviously, pictures that he was able to paint. But he compared it, and this is, you know, obviously, I have a lot of respect and honor to the military, but he basically said it was very similar to the picture of Iwo Jima, the Marines putting up the flag there, and he talked about it being a pyramid, a diamond, and then he talked about how two great programs, two great coaches, basically collided to at the top, at the peak of the event, and it was just really, really interesting how he perceived that photo and then made it into an awesome painting about how, you know, two great programs collided and we were able to come out on the top. So it was phenomenal. I got to tell you a real quick story. A guy calls me out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and he's doing like an iPod or whatever you call those things. And he said, would you like to talk to Mike Gooman? And I said,
wow.
Oh, my gosh, yes. I've never spoken to Mike Gooman in 45 years. He's the one who I stopped on the goal line.
Right.
And I felt it kind of awkward, you know, talking to him. I said, okay, so, you know, how has your life been? And he says, my life has been fantastic. You know, he's done well professionally, but he would go around and do a professional speaking and really kind of share the thought of, hey, you know, you give it your best and not all, you know, it doesn't always come out as what you think it is. And him getting stopped on the goal line. And he jokingly said every time they play the Sugar Bowl, and I hear it too, is they'll always talk about that goal line stand when they show the Sugar Bowl is one of the greatest plays in Sugar Bowl history. And Mike Gooman says he gets phone calls and they said, Hey, they're about to, you know, make that, you know, show that rerun of that play. And he goes, well, do me a favor, call me if I make it this time. So I had an opportunity to ask him. I said, well, you know, when we called timeout on that, or you guys called timeout on that, just before that goal line stand, what were you all talking about or doing in the huddle? Because I'm a broadcaster, too, and I wanted to find out, hey, what were you doing? He said, we didn't even say anything. He said, it was just quiet. He goes, really wasn't really doing anything. See, in our huddle, we had all grabbed arms and hands and really talked and said, hey, man, this is what it's about. This is what Coach Bryant talked about. We've got to make this happen. Somebody's got to make a play. Somebody's got to get there. So we were fired up. We were really fired up. And ironically, it was quiet over in the Penn State, you know, huddle over there during that timeout, that strategic timeout before they came back and ran that play. So there's a lot of stories that, you know, have come out over the years, and it was great to talk with Mike Gooman. He's a nice man.
One thing I've noticed every time I have you on, we never have enough time. I would love to have you back on sometime in July. I want to continue to wish you and your family, you know, continue to stay healthy as well, and hope that you make some nice new memories as far as the 4th of July weekend. But thank you so much again, Barry, for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you. You're very kind, and I really appreciate your thoughts. And thank you for having me on, and give me a call at any time. Thank you.
Look forward to it. Thank you again. That's Barry Krause, a former Alabama NFL linebacker, great, now a football analyst with the Indianapolis Colts radio and TV coverage, and never dull. Plenty of stories and never enough time. All right, coming up, some final thoughts. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. There's a lot of radar out here. Make sure you slow it down. You're going to see more radar over the next couple of days. In Brentwood, there's a crash at Seven Springs Way at OHB, 5300 block of Cane Ridge Road, South Nashville on that accident. Heavy, but it's moving 65 down through Franklin, Brentwood. It starts to get really heavy at times, 65 south down around Spring Hill. Hey, it's time to have some summertime fun at Adventures Unlimited on the Ocoee River. Book online at adventuresunlimited.net. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place with the best bowling, games, food and drink, and entertainment? Strike and Spare Family Entertainment is the answer. And with five centers in Middle Tennessee, there is a location near you. All open 7 days a week, including holidays. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Hermitage, and the Tusculum area. And enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville at Circus World, including laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, Time Freak, a laser maze, a virtual reality roller coaster, and an indoor bungee trampoline. Strike and Spare is expanding their Murfreesboro operations to the old Sears building in the Stones River Mall, with most of the attractions Hendersonville offers. Like them on Facebook for updates on the new Strike and Spare Murfreesboro. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are also the perfect place for your next gathering, from birthday parties to family reunions. For more information, visit strikeandspare.com. Remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-648-9175. 800-648-9175. 800-648-9175. That's 800-648-9175.
Napa Know How.
Right now, get 5 quarts of Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil plus a Platinum Oil Filter for just $22.98. Why does synthetic motor oil give your engine superior lubrication and protection? Because science. That's why. Pick up 5 quarts of Napa Full Synthetic plus a Platinum Oil Filter for just $22.98. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States pricing. Sales prices not include applicable state, local taxes or recycling fees. Offer ends 7/31/20.
Summer is open, and Lowe's is home for the 4th of July. This year, make your backyard the best place to be for the 4th, starting with the grill. Get the Charbroil 5-burner gas grill now, just $199. Then, fire up the Eats and enjoy every bite outside with select patio furniture and outdoor decor, up to 15% off. Whatever you dream up for this 4th at home, visit Lowe's to make it the best it can be. Valid through 7/8. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
Listen to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show online live at WNSR.com.
And welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you. Zach Williams as well. Big thanks to our visitors to the show today. Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline. Sportsline.com is the site. Also, Joe Rexroad, award-winning columnist with The Athletic. You can see all their work at theathletic.com/Nashville. And Barry Krause, former Alabama linebacker, great, went on a first-round draft choice with the Colts organization, played for Baltimore, Indianapolis, before wrapping up his career with the Miami Dolphins. Had the chance to play for not only Bear Bryant, but Don Shula as well. And then now he's a football analyst with the radio TV coverage for the Indianapolis Colts. We'll certainly look forward to getting him on later this month to talk more about what we can expect from the Colts and the AFC South. Don't forget, start your morning off with the Bill King Show from 6 to 9, followed by Greg Pogue and the John Burton Show from 9 to 11. Then Jim Rome comes your way from 11 to 2. And right before our show each and every day, it's the George Plaster Show from 2 to 4. For Zach Williams, Johnny Ballpark Franks, Hope you have a very, very safe 4th of July weekend. I'll be off tomorrow, but certainly looking forward to seeing you again next week. But once again, have an incredible night, incredible rest of the week, and do us both a favor and make it count.
WPDQ.